WOLD. You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells.
And I'm Jordan Vitale.
And we're going to go right to the phones, and we're going to have a little chat with Laura from South River. Hey, Laura.
Hey, how's it going?
Where are you today? We miss you.
I had to stay in the home because I think I was really excited about coming to the show today, and I couldn't sleep at all.
Oh, no. Believe me, I know how that is.
Like a child. Christmas Eve.
I totally understand. Last night, I was watching TV. I was watching the Sanditon. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Sanditon is an undiscovered manuscript that was written by Jane Austen, and it was unfinished. And it was discovered not that long ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and it was unfinished, and somebody finished it, and it was published, but this was a PBS broadcast, and it was season 3, and it was the finale.
Oh.
And I stayed up and watched it. I didn't stay up that late, but it was good. I want to know the end. Hey, Jane Austen's famous for happy endings. I had to know the end. And that finished at about 12:30. 2:30, I'm still looking at the clock. Going over everything that we had to do. I turned off the television, and I'm like, I couldn't turn off my brain. So I totally understand. I totally understand. But we miss you.
I was still up at like 4 or 5. I was like, okay. And Sunday's busiest day at work. So I was like, this morning, I was, ugh. So, yeah, I'm so glad that you missed me, though.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yes, we missed
you. Yeah, yeah. So, but I do actually have a very valid question.
Okay.
So, last year, we had this beautiful rose bush, and I'm sure Jordan remembers how pretty it was. And it was, you know how they just attract those lanternfly nymphs?
Okay.
The roses. Mm-hmm. They love the roses. I don't know if you had any on your roses, but my neighbor had them, too, on her roses. So I got all nervous, and I just grabbed the neem oil, and I didn't cut it the way you're supposed to cut it with the water.
Oh.
And I think I killed the rose bush.
I'm sorry.
Because so the thing is, though, I sprayed a lot of it in the area, so do I need to do anything to the soil if I dig it out?
No, you might want to add a significant amount of organic matter to the soil. If there's anything left, I would imagine that it breaks down. It doesn't have, it's a somewhat more natural substance, so it's not going to hang around as long as other things. So I think it'll break down fairly quickly. But adding organic matter to the soil as, you know, compost, as much as a significant amount, because that absorbs things that are in the soil.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Because I sprayed it over there, and I sprayed it on top of the lamb's ears, too. But the lamb's ears seem okay.
Well, my superior wingman over here just looked it up, and the half-life is 1 to 2.5 days. So if it was last year, it's gone. It's definitely gone. But just add a lot of organic matter to the soil, because it's never a bad thing, and if there's any residual, probably insignificant, but it's a good idea. And then, no, you can replant. But I can say that in the world of pesticides, it's one of those things where absolutely, without question, a little is good, a little more is not. You have to be really, really careful with that stuff and not overdo it, because, well, I'll tell you, this is one of the saddest stories that I've ever heard, and it will stay in your brain because it's stayed in mine for 25 years or so. This gentleman, when I was a county agent, and I answered homeowners' questions every morning from the time I walked in the office until noon. And then I did all my farm work in the afternoon going to visit farms. So I talked to a lot of homeowners. And this guy got on the phone and he was crying. And he had lived in his home for 5 years. And he had done all the yard work and all the landscaping and he maintained it. And he was really proud of his home. And he made the mistake of using what's called a hose end sprayer. It's a sprayer that you attach to the end of your hose, and that way you can spray with the water pressure. And he put weed killer in it without cutting it. Oh, now, the water spray itself cuts it, but you still have to cut it before you put it in the container because it was concentrated. And he sprayed his whole property to control the weeds on the lawn. He was just trying to control weeds on the lawn because weeds are killed because they're different than grass. They're dicots, and grass is a monocot. And what that means is when the seed comes up, it has two leaves, and when grass comes up, it only has one leaf, and there's chemical differences, and that's how weed killer differentiates between killing weeds and killing the grass. But there was a little bit of overspray.
Oh, man. That
he
poor
killed
guy.
Every single thing on his property. Every single thing. And because it was a weed killer that does not have a 1 to 2.5 day half-life, he probably couldn't plant for another year. I can still hear his voice in my head. He was sobbing. He was just heartbroken. He hadn't gone to work in 3 days. He stayed home watching everything die.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was brutal. And he couldn't even fix it because the soil was contaminated. So make sure whenever you're dealing with any of that stuff that you read the directions and follow the directions carefully. So,
did you get any of those pests at all last year, the lantern flies?
We had some in the back. We didn't have a tremendous number of them. They weren't everywhere. They were in the back a little bit, back by the compost pile and by the woods. They were a little bit back there, but they were not frightening. It wasn't like the movie The Birds about lantern flies. It was just, you know, a few here and there.
Them, if your lantern flies, you were able to control them. How did you get rid of them, or did you just leave them?
Well, we got the ones we could. There was a technique that was it Nancy from Piscataway who I mentioned, where you get two of those tennis racket bug zappers, and you get them on both sides and go whack them together, and that's pretty effective on the nymphs.
That's what Andy bought some of those, and that, those work really well.
Yeah, that's kind of your best bet.
I wonder if we'd had them already, or maybe we didn't have them yet. I can't remember, but those things worked really well.
Yeah, so that's your best technique, I think. The other thing is you chase them and you wait till they hop twice, because they're very weak hoppers. They hop once and then they hop twice and then they're tired, and then you have a better shot at getting them after they hop twice.
Oh, the other thing, I think I remember, they're only able to jump forward. So if you're trying to squash one, do it head on so that they jump into you.
Oh, that's a new one. I hadn't heard that. That's pretty cool. Okay, good to know. Yeah. Okay,
they're so pretty.
I know.
It's a bummer they just want to dive bomb everyone.
Yeah, it's really a shame.
I feel so sad because, where I work, when they first started coming around, the front of the door looked like Normandy Beach of lantern flies.
Oh, jeez.
It was horrendous. There were so many of them. And when we were on our cart run, we would have to, we'd have to kill as many as we could kill. And the same thing with every single person that walked into that store. They smashed every single one they saw. They were everywhere. I don't know why they were in the parking lot, but I was guessing because the truck comes from Pennsylvania and probably got them.
They got blown out to sea last summer, too. There was a whole lot. At one point, there was a whole bunch of them on the beach.
It was disgusting. I swear there was one day, it might have been in August, Phil and I were walking down on the beach, and we must have squashed 50 or 60. Like, they were just everywhere.
Unbelievable.
But what are they doing to the beach? There's no plant material on the beach. Are they doing? They trying to get a little tan?
They should at least get badges.
Yeah, at least they should pay to get on the beach. Well, at least they're not taking up any parking spaces. That's the only thing. All right.
Can I tell you one more funny thing about the lantern fly?
Sure.
One more funny thing. Okay, so I was on Etsy looking at, like, you know how they have all that cute, like, earrings and stuff? And I don't know what I was looking for. I think I was looking for butterflies. Oh, yeah, because I was making my pumpkin for Halloween, and I was looking for butterflies to put on my pumpkin because I, yeah.
Right.
But anyways, because it was like the pumpkin of butterfly, whatever. So anyway, so I found these earrings that were lantern fly earrings, and there was a little, like, thing, like, little underneath it she wrote, "These are free. Nobody wants me," or something like that.
Oh, goodness.
And I didn't even get them, even though they were free.
Oh, jeez.
And they're so pretty. Nobody wants those.
Yeah, but they are really beautiful, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like the evil Wicked Witch, you know? She was,
what?
She was beautiful, but she was evil. That happens.
Yeah.
So, all right, Laura.
Yeah.
It's delightful. Hopefully we'll see you next week. And so
get
some sleep, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, next week is Easter. Okay, I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Feel better.
Is next week Easter? No, next week is Palm Sunday. We got another week.
I would have been screaming if...
Yeah. Oh,
I'm so behind.
Yeah, no. Oh, good. And my chickens, they're behind. They need to lay some eggs. I got to dye eggs. I got to squeeze them out there and get them to shoot out some more eggs. Okay, so we need to take a break. All right. Bob from Piscataway, hang in there. You will be first as soon as we get back from this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Your home is your greatest investment. When it comes to attend to your most pressing concerns, call Rest Assured Restored at 732-781-8857. Okay, so you have a house, and things go wrong, and you make lists of things that you need to have done, and my house, I ask my husband to do some of these things, and you know what? They don't always get done. So you have to call somebody else. You need help. You need things to be done, and it could be exterior or interior painting, power washing, getting that green mold off the side of the house. Oh, it's so gross. Floor installation, bathroom remodeling, cleaning out your garbage or your attic. I have this one on the side of the chicken coop that I can't reach, this little drain thing, and it's full of leaves.
Right.
And now the rain comes down, and it goes into the chicken coop and getting the chickens wet. I can't reach it. I need help. This is the kind of thing that you can call Rest Assured Restored for. They will help you with anything. Mold damage, water damage. They are Kelly just does it all. So give them a call. You can get a free estimate. You can call 732-781-8857. That's 732-781-8857. Or you can go to their website, which is restassured.com. And if you mention that you heard about Kelly and his team on the all-new Garden Show, you'll receive a 10% discount on all the services that they provide. So Rest Assured is a proud founding sponsor of the all-new Garden Show on WOLD 95.1, the home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
It's so easy to dismiss the possibilities of being on the receiving end of unlawful behavior. As lovers of gardening, we sometimes think that others are just like us, the salt of the earth, always amenable to helping our fellow members of the human family. Regrettably, there will always be those who prey on the naivete of homeowners who think that nothing bad will ever happen. Well, those days are over, and our friends at Elite Surveillance are here to make sure that if anyone ever tries to mess with you, they will regret it. Call 732-702-2434 to receive a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment, your home, your property, and your beautiful garden. Andrew Allegro and his Elite Surveillance crew are the folks to trust. And be sure to mention The Garden Show to receive a 10% discount on your same-day installation. That number again, 732-702-2434.
Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester-Howells.
I love that sound. Tommy did that.
He's so good.
He is good. He's really good. He redid the sound. What the name of it is called Green Meadows, but Tommy and JT Rocks, his partner Jimmy Shirello, they redid the music for us, and I think it came out really.
I like it better than the original.
It sounds really good. So we're going to go right to the phones now, and we're going to say hi to Bob from Piscataway. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Peggy. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Bob.
So did you hear that we were talking about you earlier?
Yes, I did. And yes, the perennial sunflowers grew really well after they got used to being transplanted. They grew slowly in the beginning, and I guess a lot of it was the heat that we were having last year. But once they settled in by September or so, they grew about 7, maybe 8 foot tall. And yes, they had flowers up and down the stems. They were really pretty. Let's hope they come back this year. I believe they will. We have cup plants over there, and Rebecca's in the same area where they come back every year, so it's a pretty good area.
And they'll get bigger this year since they don't have to deal with being transplanted. If they got 8 feet after being transplanted, they'll get 10 to 12 this year once they're established. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
When they blow in the wind, that's the best part, when they kind of go waving, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like a
they're very sturdy plants.
Yeah, they are pretty sturdy plants, and they're a bit of a challenge to cut down. I decided that the best way to use it was to cut them down with my ratchet loppers. That way I didn't have to bend over quite so much because it was kind of long as opposed to a hand pruner, so I didn't have to do as much bending. And that seemed to be the best way to cut them all down.
Yeah, I did a similar thing. I did mine back in the fall. And what I do is I save the stems, I let them dry out, and then I use them to start my fires and my wood-burning stove. So,
yes, they'd be great for that. They would be great for that, like
kindling. Really good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. One of the reasons for my call, I want to thank you for introducing me and your audience to Baker Creek Seeds. Boy, that's a really good company. I ordered twice from them this spring. It's kind of cool. First off, they have free shipping, which is it's the only catalog I found that have free shipping, no matter how big or small the order was. And they have a lot of unusual things. And each time I've ordered, they've given me a free packet of seeds of a different variety that I never would have picked out. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I that is my favorite seed company to order from. I love them. Mm-hmm. And they always have weird stuff, and they give pretty good descriptions, which is another thing that I like. They're and it's a family business, you know, so
great to support.
Yeah, it's great to support, you know. So I've had nothing but success with them. So have you gotten a lot of seeds started? That was one of the things I wanted to talk with Jordan about.
No, I haven't done anything yet. I did finally, because of COVID, I did finally get out to the garden this week and get the peas in. Today I'm going to set my greenhouse up and my system up to start the seeds. I'm not really concerned because in the past I've started them early March. I write down for the following year, started mid-March. Last year I started mid-March and I wrote down next year start the last week of March, so I'm pretty much on schedule. I'm pretty confident that I'll be able to get them where they need to be when it's time to transplant them. But, you know, you have to, it's really hard to be patient and not jump the shark and go in there and start them earlier than you should.
That is true. Well, we started a bunch of things. One of the things we did was a lettuce bowl. So that we can have lettuce in a big bowl before mm-hmm. we can plant the lettuce out. So that's one of the things that we started. We did a few other things that had longer start times, like 10 weeks. So we did a bunch of those. One of the things that we did, and I'm amazed at the percentage of germination we got, was my popcorn plant. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It smells like buttered popcorn when you walk by. It makes you hungry every time. Absolutely every time you get hungry. But I saved the seed. Now, the first couple times I grew them, I never could find any seed. And so last year I struggled, and I searched and searched and searched and found this really weird small seed guy in Florida, and he was able to get me. He didn't have them, but he knew where he could get them, and he shipped me some. And we grew the plants, and we gave some away, and they got ginormous. And it was interesting. How many seed pods were there?
Maybe four?
On a plant? The plants were easily like 8 feet tall.
Right, and you would have expected a lot more seed out.
Yeah, and I got maybe a grand total of 12 seed pods mm-hmm. out of these huge plants. And I saved them, and I think almost every seed has germinated. So I'm going to have a lot of plants this year. So make sure you get one when you come to the plant exchange. But
yeah, that sounds good.
But they supposedly took 21 days to germinate, and they were the first things to pop out of the ground. So
wow.
Yeah, so they're doing really well. I thought they said, you know, the information we had was 8 to 10 weeks, plus it takes 21 days to germinate. Well, none of that is turning out to be true, but we got a really good stand. So so that's something else that we saw. A few tomatoes and the broccoli and cauliflower, they're all doing really well because they go out in the middle of April. So I was a little anxious about getting those started, but we're doing good. And you're right. You'll be fine. You'll be fine getting started now.
Yeah. Will next week be too early to put kale and chard seeds in the ground? Because I'm going to direct seed them. I had luck with that last year.
Yeah, I
agree. Or is
it
too early yet?
No, they should definitely be direct seeded. They do much better. They don't transplant all that great. So yes, you should be fine. Let's see, what's next week? Ooh, let's see.
April is next Saturday, April 1st.
I would say, ordinarily, I would say April 15th, but the season is way ahead, so I think you'll probably be okay. So, next weekend would probably be okay.
I'll try to get them out.
We're going to try to do some lettuce seed tomorrow, just to see what
happens.
In the
ground?
Yeah, direct seed. Yeah,
and
yeah, I think I'll do that too.
And spinach. I'm actually late on spinach. Spinach should go in the same day the peas go in, but we didn't get to that.
Okay.
But you should be okay on this weekend, I would think, with those other things.
Okay.
All right?
I just want to share one other thing. Yesterday I was looking out the window, and I could not believe what I saw at our bird feeding area. There were three large turkeys out there. Now, this is Piscataway. This is a very suburban area. There should not be turkeys walking down the street like they're people. And they're really big. I mean, they were like waist high when they were standing. I know when I used to deliver mail in Somerset, there was a flock of wild turkeys that were terrorizing the neighborhood they were in. Like, people were afraid to go to their mailboxes. They blocked my truck one time. They could be pretty vicious. So I don't know. I guess all wild turkeys are the same. The ones I've seen in the past were much smaller. They were squat. These were big turkeys, and they were just walking around our yards like, oh, I live here. Let's see what I could get, you know. It's sad. It's kind of sad in a way.
Well, there was a whole family of turkeys that lived in Ocean Grove. So if you think Piscataway is
yeah.
they were in Ocean Grove. There was a fox in Ocean Grove too,
right?
And yeah, the turkeys that it was a mama turkey and she had a bunch of baby turkeys and they followed her all around. And she was never aggressive. I think maybe because she was so used to people, because there were so many people. But she was not ever aggressive. People would write about her all the time on Ocean Grove Next Door, that like community bulletin board kind of a thing, and no one ever complained or said she was aggressive. But she had this whole bunch of babies. Unfortunately, over the course of the summer, it started out like 6 or 7 babies, and it ended up like 2 or 3. Nobody really knows what happened to the babies. But she was not aggressive, probably because she was desensitized. But they appear where they appear, you know, and they're adapting to a smaller habitat, and they'll any place they can make a home. They make a home, I guess, but...
Yeah, I don't know what this is going to mean for my gardening moving forward. Hopefully, they're not going to bother anything, but we're going to find out.
I get... Right. And, yeah. I haven't seen turkeys at Tiny Farm. I know we have a fox, and got one of my chickens this couple weeks ago, which I was very upset about. So we have a fox, and I know the fox sometimes has been spotted in the cemetery across the street. I haven't seen any turkeys. I have a couple of wild cats that I'm wondering if, you know, if they went after. I don't know who actually got the chicken, but somebody did. So, you know, nature finds a way. We've been encroaching on their territory for a long time, so I guess it's time to encroach back.
That's true.
So, Bob, are you still with us? Nope, we lost...
Where'd he go?
I don't know. We seem to have lost Bob. Okay, well, we need to take a little break. So next is Art from Milltown, and we'll be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIgarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Okay, so we're talking again about Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping.
Yes, we are.
We went there last week.
We did.
And we talked about the really cool passion vine that like creates a whole ceiling in the greenhouse. We talked about that. What we didn't talk about was lemon tree. He's got a gigantic lemon tree that's got lemons on it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think they said that their family brought pieces of the lemon tree to the United States with them from Italy. So it's a really cool piece of history, too. It's not just, oh, look at this fantastic lemon tree. It's like, oh, look at my fantastic lemon tree family heritage.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Which is a little more significant.
Mm-hmm.
But what the other thing that we didn't talk about much was the deli that's
right.
attached. And we all got sandwiches, and they were so good.
They were delicious. I've been thinking about those sandwiches 24/7.
Well, we're going to go back today.
Good.
Because we have to make a stop in Old Bridge, so we'll just, you know, kind of like do a little swing over this way and a little bit over that way, and we'll go over and we'll get some more food and see if they've got any new cool plants in. But it was, they're famous for their sandwiches and their subs, and they have this thing called a Sloppy Joe Hot Mess.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by that. They're located at 200 Riva Avenue, right off Milltown Road. They're kind of on the East Brunswick Milltown border, and if you want to call them, their number is 732-821-7144, and it's just a really cool family business that has the gardening in the back and the food in the front. It's like going to grandma's house.
I know. It's everything a couple girls like us need.
Everything, you know? Exactly. But, you know, my grandmother, when I was a little girl, she did all the cooking in the kitchen. You could always count on good food in the kitchen. And Grandpa did all the gardening in the backyard.
Aww.
And so it's a lot like that. You know,
yeah.
You go and you got the Josephine with the food in the front, and you got the garden in the back, and it feels like more extended family.
Yeah.
So it's a great place. So we'll be visiting there after we leave the show, and we'll be back after this.
Hello, everyone. This is Andy from South River.
and a part of the Garden Show staff. I have been going to Eric and his team at Mobile One Lube Express for 9 years. I can tell you firsthand that if you need an oil change, or you need a bulb replace, or heck, what if you don't want to wait in that insufferable line to get your car inspected? You can visit Eric and his team at Mobile One Lube Express in Edison, and I will assure you, you will be happy you did. They make you feel like family. Mobile One Lube Express, across from the ShopRite in Edison, 732-253-8100. And they're open 7 days a week and open until 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Mobile One Lube Express.
Listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. We're going to go right to the phones and say hi to Art in Milltown. Hey, Art, how you doing?
Good morning, my dear. How are you today?
I'm doing really well.
Okay.
We're going to go over to Mike's and get some sandwiches again today.
Okay.
That's in your neck of the woods, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, right around the corner.
There you go.
At the bottom of the hill, turn right on the brook, and you're right there. The reason I'm calling today, you know I've been having trouble with my lawn, and you said something before that I never picked up on. A weed killer only has a 3.5-day life?
No. No. The thing that only had the 2.5-day half-life was neem oil, which is not a weed killer.
Right.
No, weed killer can last a lot longer than that. And there's different kinds of weed killers, and each one has its own half-life. But, and if, for those of you who don't know what a half-life means, it's like the amount of time for about half of it to be completely gone. So you can figure that it'll be, you know, twice that long for it to be all gone.
Okay. Because I mentioned to you I had problems with chickweed, and I've been pulling it out like crazy. And I said, oh, wow. I just put the seed down yesterday, hoping to get in some rain. And I was hoping that maybe I could use a weed killer before the seed germinated, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, you definitely don't want to do that. No. What you can do is put down a pre-emergent. No, you can't even do that. There's some pre-emergent materials that you can put down that are that will be compatible with lawn grass seed, but you're better off not putting anything down, Art. You're better off just...
Back to the old manual removal.
Well... You could feed it to my chickens. They really like chickweed. When I pull it out, I save it in a big pile, and then I give it to the chickens.
But you should have told me. I put it in the I put it in the garbage because I didn't want to go anywhere. So,
weed control is certainly tricky when you're trying to seed at the same time. There is that pre-emergent. You got to make sure you get the right one. And I would, to be honest, I would have to look it up to make sure I had the right one, the right pre-emergent material that's compatible with grass seed, because most of them are not, and it's hard to find. So, but really, your best bet is to. You're probably going to have to reseed in September, is what all this comes down to.
I know that.
So, because the grass seed that you're seeding now may or may not hold up once the weather gets hot. More than likely, we'll get a 95-degree day, and it's all going to frizzle up, which I'm sorry about that. But it is just the way it is. Last year was not a great year for grasses, for lawns. It was just too hot and too dry, and a lot of lawns dried up. And then, of course, there's the problem that a lot of people water them the wrong way. And then that only makes it worse. And what happens is your grass really wants to go dormant in the summer. And if you don't do anything to it at all, it'll go dormant. It'll turn brown. It'll look ugly. And then come the cooler weather, it'll turn green again and come back because it's just dormant. But when you try to, when you water it once in a while and you force it to grow when it wants to go dormant, it actually gets more stressed. And watering it a little bit once in a while will actually contribute to killing it, because right. it's trying to grow when it wants to be dormant, and that makes it really hard. So if you want to keep it going, then you have to water it properly and deeply to keep it going, which is kind of a pain in the you know what. You have to put down an inch of water all at once. Not a lot of people will water for 15 minutes every morning. That's a disaster. You need to put down a whole inch, and you can measure that by putting out tuna fish cans and how long it takes to fill the tuna fish can. And you want to put them in different places because the water doesn't always land when it's coming out of a sprinkler the same in the whole area, the whole radius of where the water hits. So when you put down an inch of water, you have to put down an inch of water all at one time, and so that the whole root zone and below the root zone gets enough water so that it doesn't dry up as soon as the sun comes out. You put And so a lot of people watered incorrectly, and that contributed to why a lot of lawns dried up last year. So you do the best you can, Uncle Art. You'll just do the best you can, and you throw some seed down. And I'll be honest, I kind of like chickweed.
Well, the guy next door to me has a beautiful patch. You should come and take it.
Well, it's green. It's low growing. It doesn't get real tall. Mm-hmm. It gets a little tiny white flowers now and then, which are not offensive. It doesn't stick you, poke you, stab you, or give you anything that itches. So you can just mow it, and it stays nice and compact. So
I woke up in the dawn. I thought it snowed.
What, because of all the white on the the flowers on the chickweed? Well,
yeah, it looked like it snowed, so. No, I had really bad lawn. I had the brown spots and everything else. I just couldn't contend with that. So I know my seeding now is a temporary seed, but I figured maybe I could kill off the chickweed. And I'll put pre-emergence down when I do the fall seeding. But I was looking for an instant remedy.
The only instant remedy is sod. You could put down some sod.
Sod or stone and paint it green.
There you go. That would work. That would definitely be green. You know, there's a lot of people that are putting down artificial turf now.
Yeah.
And,
you know, Andy might know, in South River, I have a dear friend who worked with me for many years. Her husband was a police officer. But anyway, they have dogs, and they actually put down, they had the whole backyard turned into AstroTurf. I said, what about the dog? She says, it just wants to know. But anyway.
Well, you don't have to mow it. I wonder, that's, you know, true. What I wonder about, though, more than anything, is what if leaves get on it?
Oh.
How do you get, what do you do with the leaves?
Probably, I mean, you'd have to blow.
You'd have to blow them off. What do they do with the leaves, Uncle Art?
Well, leaves usually get stuck in a grass blade. So maybe there's no grass blade, so it doesn't get stuck there. Send them on to the neighbor.
Well, maybe. I'd be curious. If it looks like grass, though, those little synthetic grass blades, they might be like glue. The leaves might really stick to them. I don't know. We need more research on this topic.
Yeah, I'd be more worried about raking, though.
Yeah, if you tried to rake
it, pull it out.
You might pull the whole thing out. So I think you'd have to blow it. You'd have to use a blower.
They did it years ago. They're happy with it. So I guess it's working for them.
I guess it's working. Okay, well, give Anne-Marie a hug, and we will talk to you soon.
Have a great day, honey.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, who's next? Okay, Dave from Metuchen. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Peggy. Nice to talk to you.
My pleasure. What can I do for you today?
Well, you were talking before about the cherry blossom, so I wanted to share a little bit because I grew up, I grew up in Newark, kind of on the opposite end from you, up in the North Ward, basically a block from Branchburg Park where the cherry blossoms are. And growing up, I used to walk through the park every day to and from school, and when the Cherry Blossom Festival would go on, like it is next week, those cherry blossoms were gifts from the Japanese government. Japanese people from all around would come to the park and celebrate, and there'd be people there wearing colorful kimonos and all. But the blossoms right now, if people go up there today, they're not going to see much, I'm afraid. There is a blossom cam put online by the Escambia County Park Commission, and I'm looking at it now, and you can see that they're in buds, but they're not blooming quite yet. But maybe another week or two, it might be really good to see.
Well, next week is when the festival starts, so it seems, based on what you just said, and I'm really excited about this cam. Wow. Oh, unfortunately, the video is temporarily down at this moment, but what a great idea. But if you're saying that it's just coming into bud, then it's going to be right on target for the festival. And I thought it was maybe going to be a little late, that the festival would have missed it since everything's so early, but it sounds like it's going to be perfect. That's great.
Yeah. Every year it's a problem with the timing of the festival. It's not always at the peak time, but... Mm. Yeah, we'll cross our fingers and hope it's right now.
Are you going to go back? Are you going to go see it?
Yeah.
Do you go every year?
We've been going for the last several years. We were thinking of going this weekend, and then when I saw that it wasn't ready, we passed. So we might go next week.
Well, I think that's an amazing childhood memory that you have there.
Yeah.
Of walking through the park with the cherry blossoms in bloom every day, going back and forth to school. The cam is working and it's pretty spectacular. And there's some the one tree that's on the computer screen right now is pretty much in full bloom. The one next to it, nothing. But there's one in full bloom and one nothing. So they said they have a whole bunch of different species or varieties of cherry blossoms, which would mean that they're going to have a staggered bloom. And I bet they did that on purpose extend the season so that there's, you know, to offset the fact that some seasons are going to be earlier than others. But and there are so many different kinds of cherry blossoms. The ones that were from Japan are the ones also that are predominantly in Washington, D.C. But but they said in the little bit of history that I was able to look up that they have different varieties, so they've probably supplemented what they got from Japan originally.
Right.
But why did – well, I can understand why Japan would give them to Washington, D.C. What was the motivation behind giving them to the Essex County Parks Department? Do you know, Dave?
I'd have to look it up. The history is online, but I don't recall offhand why we were lucky to get them.
Yeah, I want to know that. You know, I tried to call them this week, and I left messages, and it's one of those, when you call them, it's one of those recorded where, you know, press one for this and two for that, and then after you press three for whatever you think you want, you got to press more buttons, and I finally eventually got to where I could leave a message, and no one called me back, but I really was hoping to get more of the history before this happened. Maybe someone will call me back this week, and since the festival starts next weekend, that would be timely, but I was really hoping to get more detail from them, but I was conquered by their telephone system. Which happens more and more all the time these days. So, but what's your favorite memory of that? Did anything magical happen while you were walking through the park? Did you have any particular memories that stand out from that experience?
Well, the thing that is really impressive is when the wind blows and the petals are falling like snow, and that's pretty magical.
Yes, I bet that was pretty magical. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
I did find the history here, and I was wrong. It wasn't a gift of the government. It was from Caroline Bamberger Fools,
right,
the sister of department store magnate Louis Bamberger, who was an avid gardener and traveler, and impressed by the cherry blossom growth in Washington, D.C., wanted Newark to have something similar.
Oh, okay. Mrs. Bamberger.
Oh, there it is. Yes.
Bambergers. Do you remember Bambergers? Bambergers used to also be in Newark.
Yes, I remember very well. I used to take the bus downtown in the Christmas season to go shopping, and Bambergers was a must stop.
I spent a lot of time at Bambergers. My mother used to like to shop in Bambergers, and then I found... We may have been there at the same time. Who knows?
That's what I'm thinking. We must have crossed paths.
We must have. We took the 31 bus down to go to Bamberger's. We did that not often, but enough that it was a very clear memory. So, and then they were purchased by Macy's a long time ago, and but they didn't change their name until recently. But they were actually owned by Macy's for a really, really long time. But Mr. Bamberger is the one who started it all. All right, Dave, it's a pleasure. Give Danny Girl a hug for me. I mentioned her on my blog, so I don't know if she saw that, but I did mention her and her begonias. So if she hasn't looked at that, if she hasn't seen that, you should find that and point it out to her. And we will see you soon.
All right, we'll do.
All right, thanks for calling. Bye-bye now. And we'll be back after this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Trivent is a proud sponsor of WOLD 95.1 and the all-new Garden Show with me. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells. That's me. Trivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website, which is connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Now, her website, which is a little complicated, connect.thrivent.com/Amy Nichols. I will post that this week on my website, which is peggygarden.com, peggigarden.com. And so you can get that from information there. And please keep in mind that Amy is a lovely human being, and you will feel safe and be able to trust her. She's become a friend and a great person to work with. All right, we'll be back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's spring. And what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There is no need to pull your arm out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he is your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. And no more figuring out how you'll get your lawnmower to where it needs to be repaired. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary is your man to call. Call 917-807-3901. And be sure to mention the all-new Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge. That's Gary, the small engine specialist, 917-807-3901. Gary is a proud founding sponsor of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on WOLD, the home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Okay, we're going to go right to the phones and have a little chat with Chris, who's calling us from Scotch Plains. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Peggy. Good to speak with you. Peggy, I have a couple of questions. One thing, you talked about growing butterfly peas, and I actually sent away for the seeds from Baker Creek. I started them. At this point, I'm kind of having mixed results. I planted about 10 seeds. I have three germinating. I noticed when I pre-soaked them that a couple of the seeds really swelled up very quickly. They almost looked like the dog ticks where they were a lot swollen. Well, I mean, it was a good example. They were swollen immediately, others less so. Any suggestions for getting better germination rate? I still have hope for the other ones that haven't sprouted, but, just to get the best results possible.
Well, Jordan's saying she would like to talk to you.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask if you're using a heat mat.
Yes. So you are? Okay.
You are.
So basically, I did a couple of things. I took some sandpaper, some like fine sandpaper. I sanded them a little bit, not real aggressively. I think I might have been a little bit light on the sandpaper. Then I soaked them overnight in water, and then I placed them in soil in a heat mat with a plastic dome on top of them. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything I can improve on that.
Yeah.
That sounds like you did everything right. Be patient. You know, they may still pop.
Okay.
But it's a new crop for me too. I mean, it's such a weird thing. I'm sure a lot of people have no idea what we're talking about. The butterfly pea produces a beautiful purpley blue flower that is famous for being used as a tea, and it was Queen Elizabeth, or the recent monarch who passed away, it was her favorite tea. And you can also make like a lemonade-y kind of drink out of it. And one of the cool things is it makes a blue beverage, whether mm-hmm. it's hot or cold. But if you put a couple drops of lemon juice in it, it turns pink. So that's kind of cool. And I'm looking forward to it. And I've got the seed as well. I haven't started this. We haven't started the seed yet. We'll probably do that this week. But soaking them was the thing to do. And scarifying them is another good thing to do. Mm-hmm. We'll just keep our fingers crossed and hope they come up. I know their seeds kind of expensive, and you don't get a lot of them. So
no, what the heck? I was happy to get them that they weren't sold out. So in that respect, it was all good. So it hasn't been that long that they've been planted. So hopefully we'll get a little bit better germination. Peggy, the other question that I had for you is about planting onion plants. So I started some onion plants from seeds inside. I'm seeing that spring is coming early this year. I think they call it phenology, where you take cues from the plants that are growing, and I'm just seeing that the forsythias are budding out, and the magnolias and the daffodils. How soon could you get hardened off onion plants put outside? Any thoughts on that?
As soon as you get them hardened off. Onion plants are pretty tough. So
okay, so if I can keep them out for under moderate conditions for a week or so, I could plant them in early April then?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. And then just a final good news, bad news thing. So the good news is we grew a lot of ground cherries last year. My wife made a wonderful ground cherry pie. We had enough ground cherries to make a second pie, and I was going to bring that to the get-together this year. When we heard that your show was canceled, we had another ground cherry pie, and we ate it, so no pie for
I'm sorry. Well, the show is back.
Let me tell you, it was I thought everybody could take like a little bit of a sliver of it, but not for this year, but hopefully your show will go on and on and on. And just a final thing, I was kind of paranoid about not getting the station. I live in Scotch Plains, and I just have a generic portable radio. I can get it loud and clear, but I was listening to it last night. WOLD is actually good in its own right. I enjoyed the music. It's kind of like from the time that I grew up. So although it's nice that they're having you on, I think is getting a lot of people, exposed to WOLD. So it's sort of like a reciprocal thing, but I'm really happy that you're back.
Thank you so much. Do appreciate that. You have a great day. Keep me posted on those peas.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye now. All right, let's get to Jack. Good morning, Jack. We have a minute and a half.
All right. Good morning. First thing is, I guess we have to tell the listeners, just please follow label directions. You had at least one call and then your story today where people destroyed plants or lawns without following directions. And the other chemical for the lawn, I think it's Treflan, it's called, that you can put down with fertilizer and 100 seeds. And the third thing is, I missed one thing. Did you, when you mentioned the basketball teams at the beginning of your show, did you ever mention Rutgers? Because if you did, I apologize.
No, I didn't mention it. Did they make it? I didn't know that they were
playing. They didn't make it, but they're strong. They almost made it, but they're the strongest powerhouse in the state. And we got to, next year, Jordan, say a prayer.
Next year.
Okay, Jack.
Next year.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right, well, there was a million things I wanted to talk to that we didn't get to. I wanted to talk about using potatoes to start seeds, but we didn't get them.
We'll do that next week.
And if there's other things, too, but we will get to all of that. And I will be here next week with Jordan, same time, same place. Until then, have a good one. Bye-bye.
So long.
All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, Central Jersey's music and information station. Missed a show? You can listen to past shows on demand anytime at WOLDradio.com.